But on the phone right now, we have Dr. Matt Miller. Dr. Miller is a running therapist, and he's a licensed marriage and family therapist in Minneapolis. He just began offering running therapy, which is kind of a combination of what he does normally in his work, a traditional talk therapy and exercise. So he gets people outside, and presumably it works real well for him. And Dr. Miller, we want to welcome you to the Roadhouse.
Oh, thank you. Happy to be with you.
Nice to have you here. You know, we noticed when we were doing the weather that it's 32 down in Minneapolis, that's a little more comfortable to run than what we've had up here lately.
It was a great day to run today. Yep, sunny, high of 35 maybe. It was a beautiful day to be out.
So you were out, you got a chance, you were working today with clients?
I did a couple today. Yep, one this morning and one in the afternoon. So, yep, got a chance to be out and about.
Well, you've long been a runner. You've accomplished runner. Maybe you can talk a little bit about how you happened to combine both your work, which is probably a passion of yours too, I'm assuming, but also your exercise passion.
Yeah. You know, in addition to the exercise passion, I think it's a big nature passion for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I can tell you, I've just always loved being outside. Playing in nature has been a part of my life since early childhood. And I actually worked for many years as a wilderness guide in northwestern Montana. And it was this incredibly life-giving opportunity to lead people on trips into beautiful places and to see how the experience impacted them. And after that, if you fast forward a few years into my story, I was in grad school, and I was actually working as a wilderness therapy intern in the Boundary Waters. I was doing emotional growth work with high school boys that were getting into trouble. And the job was just so formative, and the results were so compelling that I ended up deciding I wanted to try and find a way to incorporate nature and exercise into the therapy that I was doing.
You had like six-week trips with those kids. Now that's a bit of time to be out there with those youngsters.
We took quite a bit of time to go out. Got to know each other pretty well. But you know, wilderness therapy is pretty incredible when you look at the results in terms of like what we do with juvenile offenders. Wilderness therapy is much, much more cost effective than a juvenile detention center, and mm-hmm. the recidivism rates are much, much lower. So it's more effective, it's cheaper, and I have a personal bias towards it anyway, so it's kind of an all-around win.
Certainly. Not only is it great for folks to be in the outdoors, but there's endorphins, there's other things involved with exercise as well, aren't there?
Absolutely, absolutely. There's this interesting thing that happens, and I imagine many of your listeners anecdotally can see the value of doing therapy outside. You know, the North Shore is a beautiful place. So if you've seen the sunrise at Shovel Point, if you've swam in the Baptism River or seen the Northern Lights on the Gunflint, you get a sense of how inspiring nature can be. But the research, when you start to combine time in nature with exercise, is really compelling. Because those endorphins that you're talking about, the neurochemical changes and also the emotional changes that take place when you're running are actually magnified when you run outside.
And there's also an increase in serotonins and other things that just happen when you're doing these activities.
Absolutely, yes. So there's if you look into some of the studies that I've done recently, you can see that time in nature helps to do a lot of things. It helps to stabilize mood. It helps to restore attention, helps to decrease stress. But when you look at what happens when you take an activity that's good for you, like regular exercise, and you combine it with an environment that's conducive to health, like a preserved natural area, there's actually a synergy there. The effects are compounded. And so you can see that when people exercise outside in natural areas, it leads to decreases in anxiety and stress, depression, hostility, blood pressure, while increasing things for them like positive mood, positive affect, self-esteem, attention span, problem-solving, creativity, positive memory changes to retention and recall. You know, the list goes on.
Now, apparently you found that rather than putting people on a couch, if you can take them out into this environment and get them working away, exercising or jogging or walking even, that you find that you do a better job or make a better connection with them in your therapy work?
I do. And that's it. You know, it's new enough for me that it's hard to fully articulate it. But if we just step back for a second, so when you think about all of those benefits that are available to somebody who's exercising outside, right, the decreases in anxiety and stress and depression and hostility and the increases in mood and self-esteem and positive affect, you get the sense that exercising outside is really an ideal environment to work therapeutically with people. It really sets them up for success in a uniquely powerful way, especially when you would compare it against a more traditional talk therapy session, which would be, you know, indoors on the couch kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, do you feel there's a connection between emotional stability and getting regular exercise?
Absolutely. I would go beyond emotional stability to even say relational stability. So not only are you in and of yourself more calm, cool, collected, confident, but it impacts your entire livelihood. So it impacts your relationships with friends and loved ones. It impacts your ability as a radio show talk host, right? If you're getting regular exercise,
oh yeah,
you know, it's completely completely pervasive. So it's mm-hmm. it's a really big thing, and for me, it feels like such a win because it's not only the ideal setting for many people to begin to develop a therapeutic connection, but it's also really life-giving for me as a therapist to be practicing in that setting. It gives me this energy and this sense of vitality that allows me to do my job in a way that I'm not sure I'd be able to if I was only working indoors.
Mm-hmm. Do you find that with the, you know, the patients that you've had or clients that you've had that exercise and being out of doors in nature has long-term effects as well as the short-term effects that happen when you're there?
That is a good question. I really want to say yes, but I would be overstepping my boundaries at this point. Running therapy is new enough. You know, this is a couple-month-old endeavor at this point for me. And the research that's looking into people exercising outside is really not longitudinal at this point. So in terms of like long-lasting effects, mm-hmm. I don't know if I can speak to it yet, but I really hope so.
Sure. Now, you take clients out for a half hour, either depending on what level of exercise they want to participate in. They could be walking, running, jogging, and you found... I should probably ask you first where you're located, where your office is.
So I'm in Minneapolis. Mm-hmm. I meet with a lot of clients in South Minneapolis, and we utilize the park system and the lakes down here. So we meet at local lakes. We get about 50 minutes together, and okay. I kind of have a Lake Harriet, if you're familiar with that, mm-hmm. that I tend to meet folks at for the first session, and then after that we mix it up. So if there's a park close by your house or close by your work that might make more sense, then we get the variety to meet there.
Okay. And do you find that the amount of time that you're with them running, that works at that time is enough for you to do what you feel you'd like to in the therapy session as well as getting the exercise?
Yeah, I do. You know, I think what you're hinting at is an important point, which is that it's different from just sitting and talking, and there's the potential to not talk as much when mm-hmm. we're running. And I had a bit of a fear of that when I first started this. I was, you know, I kind of did this dance between, well, how fast should we go, and should we stop and take breaks on benches to make sure that we really talk a lot? And what I ended up doing was kind of letting go of that angst personally and just empowering the client to say, this session is your session. So whatever pace you choose is the right pace for today. So if that means we do a lot of running and maybe by default less conversing, and that's what's helpful for you today, then so be it. That's my job. So it takes a little bit of the pressure off me to try and try and make sure that the session really has gotten everything accomplished that we wanted to, simply because I've really tried to empower the person from the beginning to say, make this what you will, and I'm along for the journey.
Mm-hmm. Do you find the clients that are interested in this type of therapy different from the clients that are quite happy to be sitting on the couch and talking to you in that environment?
You know, there are some differences, and I think there are things that clients, at least some of my initial clients, have alluded to. Some of the folks are people who have attempted traditional therapy, and it just hasn't been successful for one reason or another. And so they were looking to think outside the box, and this fit the bill for them. There are other folks that are younger, so teens and young adults that I'm working with, that are dealing with impulsivity, attention span concerns, hyperactivity, you know, things that might warrant an ADD, ADHD diagnosis. And for these kids, getting a chance to walk while they're talking is massively important for their own sense of well-being, and it really impacts their ability to creatively problem-solve some of the issues going on in their life. One other group of people, which is kind of a startling thing for me, I didn't anticipate this, but if I had to categorize, there are also folks that have been seeking out running therapy that are, I would describe as busy professionals, people who already have a very full weekly schedule and are actually hoping to combine their exercise routine with a weekly therapy session. So this is like a more bang for your buck kind of opportunity for them with their busy lives.
Do you tell people, hey, it's time to shut your phone off before you start running?
We do.
Okay.
We do. Yeah, actually, I have them leave their phone in their vehicle, so we set that aside.
Well, I found it kind of interesting when you brought up that you have some younger people with ADD problems and attention problems. Exercise, getting away from what I might see as some of the core problems there, getting away from, you know, the internet and the phone and all those things that just take all your attention, I would think would make a perfect place for those people to just relax, get away from those things, get the buzz out.
Absolutely. Yeah. The stress reduction is huge. And really, you notice a difference right away in their level of receptivity to conversations, that they're actually listening to me. Mm-hmm. Versus it's pretty easy to tell when somebody's tuning you out. And I've been tuned out a lot while working in my office. But there's definitely a difference when we're out and about of their ability to actually listen and hear me.
Now, you work with families. That's one of your focuses, I believe, in family studies that you have your PhD in. Mm-hmm. So I suppose sometimes you're going to have the wife and the husband on either side of you when you're running. And
so I'm still working out the kinks on what that'll look like.
Okay.
I have, to date, I've only been working with individuals. But you're right. You know, at some point, my passion is definitely working with people in their context. Mm-hmm. And many times that means working with the relationship, so both partners, or maybe a parent and a child together. So we'll have to put some thought into the logistics of how running therapy works when we get multiple parties involved.
Well, when you have people out and part of what you do is explaining why the exercise is good for them, does that lead you to promote other types of exercise that might fit that individual to help them in their recovery from their problems?
Absolutely. And, you know, part of that is simply just picking the right pace for them to make sure that it's comfortable. So people that don't have a lot of history or maybe don't have the physical capabilities, you know, we take a very slow walk. And then while we're out and about, we talk about other things that they can do during the rest of their week. Because many of these people I'm seeing for 50 minutes out of a week. So a very, very small fraction of their entire life.
Mm-hmm.
And then other folks, you know, they get pretty excited about it. And we're actually starting to see some growth, some physical growth in their capacities as a runner, which is really exciting because they start to have this you know, this newfound sense of energy about claiming an identity as an athlete, many of them for the first time. And so we get the chance to brainstorm of what else that can look like after the running therapy session is done for the week.
We're speaking to Dr. Matt Miller. He is the running therapist. He's a licensed marriage and family therapist in Minneapolis. He has introduced running therapy to his clients down there, which combines traditional talk therapy and exercise, in this case, running, walking, or jogging. So in some cases, for your clients, you might say, hey, why don't you get a pass at the Y, or why don't you take up some weight training? Does that your conversations with them involve extending their exercises?
Absolutely. Yep. So I've got a couple of gyms that I'll refer people to if they're interested in a personal trainer or seeing a physical therapist or a chiropractor, or if they're just excited about some things that they can do at home. All of those are things. Sure. Solutions that will come up in conversation. And again, it's because the research is out there and it says that regular exercise is massively, massively important for everyday well-being. It's a big thing that I preach.
Do you see a relationship between depression and diabetes, which has become, you know, kind of endemic in our society?
You know, it's a tricky question. And it's a little outside my area of expertise.
Okay, I'm sorry.
The one thing that I... No, not at all. But the one thing that I can tell you is that people dealing with diabetes and quite a few other chronic medical conditions often have something that we would call a comorbid disorder, which is that co-occurring thing. Depression is a very, very common one. And it kind of turns into a... I wouldn't say a chicken or egg situation necessarily, but it's they have the tendency to feed each other. You can picture a spiral where somebody who's dealing with depression may have some challenges to their sense of self-esteem and self-confidence. They may have some really negative ways that they frame themselves because of it, and they can get into some defeating behavioral patterns because of that, which have the potential to further their depression, which would then further their diabetes, there's always a chance for a relationship, but I'm not sure if I could speak much further on it.
Okay. It just occurred to me that people with diabetes can help themselves, unlike many diseases, through exercise and diet. And, of course,
absolutely,
if depression is related to that, you can help them lead up, you know, combine, because they do, as you mentioned, kind of fit together, or at least we think
absolutely.
So.
Absolutely.
That maybe
absolutely.
That's part of your therapy.
You know, it is, yeah. And it's, I think the thing there is that it's a really powerful combination to do behavioral modifications with people, lifestyle modifications, mm-hmm. and combine that with a therapeutic relationship. And so whether it be diabetes combined with depression, or you know, overeating combined with anxiety, or you know, whatever it is, I think it's just a really powerful combination, and that's what gets me so jazzed about this running therapy idea, is because it feels like combining the two is part of the answer that many people actually need and aren't currently getting.
Well, I have one last question for you, Matt, and that is one that we've all heard before. If exercise is so good for us, how come we find it so hard to do?
It's a great question, and you know, I think the easy answer to it is that we exercise for the wrong reasons.
Okay.
We exercise for things like, I want to have a sexy six pack, right? Because I see that in the magazines, and that's not what my stomach looks like. So that's why I'm out for a run today.
Mm-hmm.
And for me to actually get to that point, it will take years of perseverance, you know? I mean, it's just this massive undertaking to think that we can exercise and get some of those results that we're really looking for. Now, if we reframe it and we say, you know what? What if you exercised for mood? What if you exercised simply because it allowed you to feel better about you? It reduced your stress. It eliminated your depression. And we set you up on a program that really allowed you to key into those emotional changes. I think you would view exercise differently because unlike, you know, the sexy six-pack that takes years, you will feel the endorphins that shift your mood during and immediately after the very first run you go on.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think we should make that into a short little statement, and we'll staple it into the wall ceiling above our bed. So, okay, now I know why I'm going to get up and run, huh?
Yep.
Okay. Well, we've been speaking with Dr. Matt Miller, and Dr. Miller is the running therapist. He has an office in Minneapolis. He combines traditional talk therapy and exercise. And Dr. Miller, do you have a website that people can go to for more information?
I sure do, yeah. It's www.runningtherapy.me. And it's there's some information about myself and about the process of running therapy, and then also some helpful links if anyone's interested in learning more.
Oh, that's great. And Matt, if you're ever up in the Grand Marais area, stop in, and Dick and I will go for a run with you. That'd be fun.
I would love, love, love that. I will be up for the spring trail run.
Oh, you will? Okay,
so you guys are a part of that. Yep.
The fall one, but the spring one, I'm usually not in good enough shape yet, but we'll see.
Oh, yeah, that's why I did the short distance, only a 25K this time.
Great. Well, thank you.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Good night.